Today's reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Please follow along in your Bibles. Amos 3, verses 1 to 8. Hear this word, people of Israel, the word the Lord has spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has no prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down on a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please keep that passage open in front of you and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Please would you by your spirit teach us now and help us to be ready to listen and respond. Amen. What are you like when you're watching a film and you see that someone is in imminent danger, but they don't know that it's coming? The shark maybe is just about to attack. The bomb is just about to explode. The killer is just about to strike, but they don't know it. Do you hide behind your hand? Do you leave the room? Or maybe you're really calm. However it is, that is how you should feel when you read Amos chapter 3. We're coming to the end of the opening part of the book of Amos, and in this passage we see Israel is in imminent danger. At the heart of this passage that was read, we see a series of questions, and they're in pairs. And the pairs relate to danger just about to hit, and then it's too late. So notice that with me, would you? In verse 4, we think about a lion. It says, does a lion roar in the thicket when he has no prey? The answer is no, but that is a lion roaring, pouncing in the thicket. And he only does that when he's got prey. He's leaping through the air and he's roaring. It is almost too late. And then second question, does he growl in his den when he's caught nothing? Well, that's afterwards. It's too late now. The prey is being eaten and he's growling contentedly in his den. Then verse 5, it's about a bird. Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where no snare has been set? No. Again, this is just before danger hits. The bird's falling. It's seen the bait and it wants to go for it. And then second half of the verse, it's too late. Does a trap spring up from the earth when there's nothing to catch? And the answer again is no. It snaps shut and it's too late. Then verse 6, it's about a city. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? Well, Amos is drawing us in here because the answer changes. Now the answer is yes. In other words, this is just before disaster hits a city. The trumpets blast or the air raid sirens go off. And then second half of the verse, it's too late. When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Now notice there, just as a little aside, that when nations or cities fall, that is because the Lord has caused it. The Lord is Lord over the whole of the earth, over every nation, every city. And when they rise or fall, that is because the Lord has caused it. So each time you get, it's almost too late, and then it's too late. What about for Israel? Well, verse 8, it says, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? In other words, Amos is saying the Lord is that roaring lion who is pouncing on his prey. His claws are bared, his jaws are open, his eyes are fixed on his prey, and his prey is you, Israel. You should almost be able to feel the breath of the lion on the back of your neck. That is how imminent the danger is. Well, maybe you want to hide. Maybe you want to hide behind your hands. But actually, we need to learn from this. We thought a few weeks ago that that's the point of these passages. They're written as warnings for us. Therefore, don't hide. But we must learn from this passage. And we're going to learn three things. The first is, why are they in danger? That's the first question we're going to ask. Why are they in danger? Well, the beginning of the passage tells us, verses 1 and 2. See what it says. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. So this is God's word to all of his people who he brought up out of Egypt, not just the northern kingdom, because as we've said before, the kingdom split in two, but both parts of the kingdom, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. This is God's word to all of them. And he says, you only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. God saying, this is my grace to you. This is what I've done for you. I chose you out of all the nations, all the families. I chose you. And within that, and as we saw last week, there's a whole load that goes in there of God's grace, that he chose them, that he rescued them from slavery, that he provided the land for them. It's God's grace again, over and over. But here's the thing. God's people thought because he'd chosen them, they were automatically safe. That there was nothing that could happen to them. It didn't really matter what they did. They'd be safe. And so they became complacent. They became a bit arrogant. A bit like you could imagine a head teacher's child might be going around the school being a bit rude to the teachers. But look what it says, second half of verse 2, therefore I will punish you for all your sins. The very thing that you think means that you're safe and untouchable is the very reason why you will be punished for your sins. It's because I chose you. And that is what God had promised when he chose them, when he gave them the law. Yes, there were the covenant blessings if they obeyed him, but there were also the covenant curses that if they rejected God, if they disobeyed him, he would punish them. He'd promised them that he would. And now he is going to. Now, we too need to be warned, don't we, against complacency. In every generation, in Jesus's generation, in every generation, there will be those who think that they are safe because they are outwardly part of God's people. In Jesus's day, it was the Pharisees and others who were just very religious, but their hearts weren't for God. In our day too, there's a danger that people might think that we are just safe by being part of a church. Let's be a bit more focused. What about us at Emmanuel? What's our danger? Well, maybe there are some who will think that they're safe because because they belong to Emmanuel Church. Maybe you think you're safe because you belong to a Bible-teaching church, a Bible-believing church. Now, those are good things, but we must be careful not to be complacent. You see, the issue is, are we responding to God's grace to us with obedience? Are we living it out in our lives? We mustn't get complacent, as Israel did, into thinking that we're okay if we're not living it out. We need to heed the warning. That's why they were in danger. Second question. How does the Lord roar? So how does the Lord roar? Have a look at verse 8. That's where it says it, isn't it? The lion has roared, who will not fear? But notice that sandwiching that question, it talks about the prophets. So it says, verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And then just after it, in the second half of verse 8, it says, the sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? It talks about the prophets, and it's saying there's a connection between the sovereign Lord roaring and the prophets speaking. What's the connection? Well, it says in verse 7 that the Lord reveals his plans to the prophets. In other words, the prophets are to be those whom the Lord reveals his will to, his mind to. They've got to go into the presence of the Lord and hear God's plans, and then they are to take it out and proclaim it to the people. They're to be like faithful waiters. The job of being a waiter is not that tricky. You've got to take the food from the kitchen to the diners. That's what you've got to do. Bad waiters, well, there are a number of ways you could be a bad waiter, aren't there? You could think, I know, I'll make the food as well, and go and cook your own food and take it to the diners. That's not what you do. No, you're also not supposed to add to the food. It's not that the waiter takes the food and thinks, this could do with a lot of ketchup, and pour it all over it and then take it to the diners. And the waiter is also not to take food away. It's not that they can take the food and eat some of it and then pass it on to the diners. No, no. The waiter's job is easy. You go to the kitchen, you pick up the food, and you deliver it faithfully to the diners. Well, so to the prophets. They were to be in the presence of the Lord, hear the Lord's message, and take it to the people. And you can imagine Amos going into the presence of the Lord and coming out. Verse 8, the lion has roared. It's like he's come out and his hair is sort of sticking back and his eyes are panicky because he's just seen a lion roaring. And that is the message he's got to deliver to the people. See, how does the lion roar? How does the Lord roar to Israel? Through Amos, as Amos faithfully delivers the message. Well, what about us? Well, we too have a message to proclaim to the world. The Lord has given us a message, and in that message, there is a message of judgment. And it is not our job to make up that message. It's not our job to add to it or to take away from it. We are to deliver it to the world. And it is a message of judgment to those who have gone against their conscience in treating people as things and valuing things more than people, and to a complacent church which has slipped morally and gone away from the Lord. We need to tell people, as it says in Hebrews 9, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. But thankfully, that is only part of the message. Mercifully, it is not the whole message. See, we also need to see our third point, which is, it is not yet too late. And we see it's not yet too late because the lion has roared, verse 8, but he's not yet in his den growling over the prey that he has killed. It's not quite too late. It's almost too late, but it's not yet. And therefore, Israel, you need to respond. We also see that it's not yet too late because you notice that all of the questions come in pairs as you go through, but there is one question which is on its own. Verse 3, it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Who are the two? Well, it's Israel and the Lord. But there's no second question there. Alec Matir in his commentary says, well, it wouldn't be hard to imagine what the next question should be in the light of what follows. It could be something like this. Can a marriage be restored if the certificate of divorce has been written? You see, God is saying we're walking together, but only for now. Danger is almost upon us. It's almost that the relationship is broken, but it's not quite yet. There's time to respond. And our message too is, it isn't too late yet. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the lion. You might think, are you mad? Turn to a lion? Later on in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, John was told to turn to look at a lion. John was in the throne room of heaven, seeing a vision of the throne room of heaven, and he was told to look to see the Lion of Judah, in other words, Jesus. You think, oh, he's got to look to see a roaring lion. It's going to be terrifying. It's going to be frightening. He turns and he looks and he sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain. You see, Jesus is both. He is the Lion of Judgment, and he is the Lamb who was slain. Now notice the connection there. The lion is the one who judges, who roars in judgment, but the lamb is one who takes judgment, who is slain on behalf of others to take their judgment for them. You see, Jesus is both the Lion of Judgment and the Lamb who takes judgment. And the question is, will you turn to Jesus? You see, if we keep our backs to Jesus, if we reject him, turn from him, if we remain complacent, if we turn from him or run from him, he will be the Lion of Judgment. But if we just turn to him, if we bring our sin to him, if we are humbled before him and confess our sins to him, he is the Lamb for us who takes our judgment for us, so that we need not fear, so that we need not face condemnation. Our message is about a lion and a lamb. And wonderfully, it is the same person. It is Jesus. Have you responded to him yet? You need to do it before it's too late. We don't know when he will return, but one day he will in judgment. And so don't leave it. Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off. Turn to Jesus. If you need to find out more information, find out more information. If you want to ask me questions, you can. If you want to read your Bible, go for it. But find out about Jesus, and will you respond to him before it's too late? And if you have responded, we too need to take the message faithfully to others. The message of the Lion and the Lamb. People may not like it, but we still need to warn them out of love for people. We need to take this message to those around us. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you that Jesus is both the Lion and the Lamb, that he is the judge and he is the one who was judged in our place. Father, we pray that people watching this today who are not yet Christians would turn to Jesus. And those who have, that you would fire us up to go out and take the message to others. Amen.